Okay, hi. So let's go on. Today is the 8th of December, and we have reached page 106. This is program 44. And he's been telling us, in the segue, that of three stages, impressions from the ashram or from the spiritual triad, which are the only type of impressions with which I am here concerned, pass through three stages. Mental recording is one of them. Brain reception is another, and the most difficult of all, the stage of recognized interpretation. This is an exceedingly difficult phrase, DK says. Interpretation is dependent upon many factors, and then he lists them, educational background, and the point reached in evolution, the mystical or occult approach of the disciple to the center of truth, his freedom from the lower psychism, his essential humility, which plays a major part in proper understanding, may I suggest the correct sense of proportion is involved in the sense of humility. In fact, personality decentralization. And finally, he says, in fact, the character in its entirety is involved in this important matter of correct interpretation. So with program 44, we can go on, because he's going to talk about symbols. And that's why I stopped last time. It seemed to be a new subject. And when I can present these programs in the afternoon here, they are generally not long ones, so hopefully I'll be able to keep this to about an hour, roughly. So, DK goes on. In this aspect of impression, the subject of symbols must necessarily be involved. All impressions must necessarily be translated and interpreted in symbols, in word forms, or in pictorial representations. Now, we've been talking about the difficulty of interpretation, that it is recognized, and recognizable interpretation is Exceedingly difficult. Okay. So here we have impression. When we take up the subject of impression, the subject of symbols is necessarily involved. And we know that a symbol is one of these, what does he call it, word forms, or pictorial representations. Okay. Symbols, word forms, and pictorial representations. And I'll just make this a little. Yeah. Now, DK goes on. These the aspirant cannot avoid, and it is in the word forms, which are needless to point out in the nature of symbols, because, may I interpolate, that the word is not the thing, but the symbol of the thing, that he is likely to go astray, DK adds. They are the media through which the registered impression is conveyed to the brain consciousness, that is, he says, to the physical plane awareness of the disciple, thus making possible his useful comprehension of abstract ideas, or to those aspects of the path which it is his duty to understand and to teach. So I'll put this in a slightly different form. And here we have the idea that, from DK, that in his word forms, he is likely to go astray. And they are the media through which he conveys, which the registered impression, is conveyed to his brain consciousness. Okay. So, you know, let me say that DK, with Alice Bailey, had to choose his words very carefully. Very carefully. Because he could offend, he could drive away, he could have an unintended effect. So, otherwise, if he chose carefully, he could convey this to the physical plane awareness of those aspects, awareness of the disciple, thus making possible his useful comprehension of the impression. And there, much experience is required, and the magnetic aura of the teaching disciple has to be very rich indeed. I'm talking about, in this case, the master or some high initiate who is able to convey to the awareness of the disciple some abstract idea, or as DK, may I add, is doing all the time, or some sense of the path which it is his duty to understand and to teach. So, may I add that we are, so many of us, mentors and guides to students who are relatively beginners. And, excuse me, what we say to them, how we say it, will have a useful effect. And will help the newer student, the newer the person studying the books, for a lesser time, and will inspire such a person, or it may drive them away. So, now DK, I'm remembering, had to word his letters so cautiously, that he it did not offend. Of course, inevitably, he did offend, but he cradled his statements in a way which had maximum impact without destructive effects. And, you know, certain of the, well, this is all through his letters to the students, all through them. And it's remarkable, I think, how well he did this. Of course, he also had the help of Alice Bailey, saying, knowing the modern society a little better, maybe, than DK, being immersed in it, could say, well, you can't say that, or you can say that. So let us go on. The idea here is that we have, excuse me, symbols, word forms, and images. And words are symbols. Now DK goes on to say, there is no need for me to elaborate this theme. The true disciple is ever aware of the possibility of error, of the intervention of psychic intrusions. So let's just mark those. And distortions. Okay. no need to go further, because he assumes that we know, at least that we may offer interpretations which are not intended and not useful in the realm of personality to those whom we seek to help. So let's mark that out and think about it for a moment. Is it so? Do you know what you have to say, or write, or present to the people you are attempting to uplift? Are you sensitive enough in your magnetic aura to know what kind of symbols can be conveyed to such a person or such people that will really help them? Now, I think, if I may suggest, that Alice Bailey may have been sometimes appalled by what the Tibetan was actually saying to her, and tried to correct him in terms of modern language. This is a day in which there are some interruptions. I'm sorry. but anyway, DK has gone on and said, there is no need for me to elaborate this theme. The true disciple is ever aware of the possibility of error and the intervention of psychic intrusions and distortions. Now, the true disciple is not necessarily the aspirant. The disciple is more advanced and has achieved a degree of mental focus, which is beyond what the aspirant can normally muster to his to reasonable effect. Okay. Now, going on with DK, and he says of the true disciple, and those are the words we want to concentrate on now, he knows well that true and effective interpretation of the imparted impression is dependent largely upon the purity of the receiving channel. That we have to accentuate, and the freedom of his nature from all aspects of lower psychism. And this is a point oft forgotten. Okay. So again, we have to measure this against what we can actually do. So I'll put this, you know, in a distinctive color so that we can highlight or see clearly the important words, which are symbols, of course, that DK is imparting to us. Because we are after this third point. And it is a difficult point, he says. A great difficulty. How does he put it here? I think he says, the stage of recognized interpretation, and that this is an exceedingly difficult phase. Okay, well, we're still in that. So, to have accurate, useful interpretation with the possibility of interacting with the imparting source and of carrying through the impression all the way to the physical plane where it can be helpful to others requires purity of the receiving channel and freedom from all aspects of lower psychism. And may I suggest that the lower psychic, DK tells us about this in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2, is often quite proud of his psychism. He lacks an adjusted sense of right proportion. Now we get into the question of thoughts. And he tells us, DK tells us, a thick veil of concrete thought forms can also distort the true interpretation, as can astral intervention. Now that's a very important statement. You know, every once in a while you run into these statements which really summarize for us what he has been trying to impart in many words gone before. So I'll put that, of course, in the yellow color, because after all, it's the color of mentality, or one of the major colors of mentality, along with orange and to a certain extent green. So, a thick veil of concrete thought forms can also distort the true interpretation, as can astral intervention. We're interested in these distorting factors which prevent a direct impact, soul, mind, brain at least, and often more, to the physical plane where the plan can be, shall we say, materially advanced. DK goes on, the teaching upon the path and the spiritual impression can be interfered with by glamour from the astral plane or by separative concrete ideas emanating from mental levels. Okay. Interfered with. Yes. And by what? Glamour from the astral plane or by separative and concrete, well, are they even ideas, but, well, the term is used loosely. A true idea, you know, has to emanate at least from the soul, or usually from a higher point of view, namely the triad. In this case, it can truly be said that the mind is the slayer of the real. Okay, well, I'm going to bring this so I can distinguish. Now, think about it. Have you found, usually later, of course, after the event itself, that true spiritual impression in your life has been interfered with by something which you later recognized as glamour? Or by separative and concrete ideas from mental levels? I think the word there is, to accentuate, is the word separative. Because, you know, the great heresy of separateness is the one great heresy. And usually what we call heresies are mistaken thoughts. So in this case, it can be said that the mind is the slayer of the real. Now, some people, of course, may I suggest, take that too far and then don't want to use the mind. I would just say the improperly used mind is the slayer of the real, and there is, says DK, a deep occult significance to the words an open mind. Because after all, the way the mind is usually used for many, like a fortress against the truth, is a closed mind. I've made up my mind about it. You know, I'm not open to this discussion. And dogmatism takes over. DK goes on and says, it is an essential to correct interpretation, as is freedom from glamour. No, not and, but as. It is as essential to correct interpretation as is freedom from glamour and the psychic expressions upon the astral plane. Now here's where I could use the orange. And one of my friends in the work taught me how to do that, but my time has been so limited that I haven't yet followed up on his very good advice. Okay. The mind is the slayer of the real. And then the whole question of the open mind. Which doesn't mean that a non-discriminating mind doesn't necessarily mean that at all. An open mind attracts to itself certain worthy thoughts which become part of the magnetic aura of the teacher, the helper, the receiver, etc. And here is the whole idea of the deep occult significance of the open mind. And I don't know, for some reason, I would like to put this into, I would like to put this into the whole idea of the great ray, which is the ray of openness in a way. It's much less likely, I'm speaking of the second ray, it's much less likely to close down dogmatically as would be the sixth ray and sometimes the first ray and oftentimes the third ray. An open mind. With an open mind, may I suggest we would listen attentively and be as sensitive as possible regarding what may be arriving in terms of thoughts or even ideas from higher realms. That would be, it seems a simple phrase, doesn't it? Oh, well, I have an open mind. But at least it's not closed off by resistant dogma. That, of course, would be very important, not to close it off through the resistances of dogma. People can be quite fine people, but in a certain area of their life, they've just got their mind made up, and there's no way to speak to them about other and wider possibilities. And therefore, their magnetic aura is not a source from which they can draw to be truly helpful in the world, because they're all shut down, if I can use some fairly conventional terms. Okay. This open mind, what does DK say of it? Like, all I have to do is get down there. He says, it is as essential to correct interpretation as is freedom from glamour and psychic impressions. to be found upon the astral plane. So, essential to correct interpretation, as is freedom from glamour and expressions, and the psychic expressions of the astral plane. And I think that the second ray gives us a lot of that freedom that we need from the shutdown that is so commonly found, well, especially with Ray 6, and oftentimes on other rays. We might say shutdowns occur quite a bit regarding Ray 5. The individual who believes that his prejudices, which are supposedly scientific and supposedly have been investigated, are the last word regarding what is intellectually acceptable in practice or not. Oftentimes, you know, this work is filled with women. And while this is not invariably the case, they oftentimes have skeptical husbands. Now, sometimes a man who's deeply in the work has a skeptical wife, so we cannot generalize beyond that. But the skeptical person will say, I'm sorry, according to the best of everything I know, this just doesn't make sense. They will say that of our type of teaching. And, sorry, they will say this is fanciful. This is imaginative. This is not reality. I doubt this, because doubt goes along particularly with the fifth ray. Okay. So, DK goes on and says, here again, you can grasp the necessity of a factual alignment so that a direct channel is created along which the impression directed by some higher source than the personality, let's say, may I suggest soul or triad or later even something greater, can descend into the brain. Now, this is not a theoretical alignment. This is factual. A direct channel is created for direct descent into the brain. The brain really, I mean, if we have one, you know, and are in the physical body, is a most necessary target in order to advance the divine plan on the physical plane. So, but that word, factual alignment, it's like speaking of experience rather than theoretical presumption, which can be good up to a point, but eventually has to give way to experience and a true alignment with higher points of tension, which, by the way, of course, meditation can promote quieting the personality and helping to get it out of the way of the descending impressions. So, let's get this a little bit recorded here. Okay. At first, says the Tibetan, this channel and alignment must be established between the brain and the soul. Now, that's precisely what we do when we begin our initial meditative work. We attempt to establish, we may use the Master in the Heart meditation or some other meditation which connects the meditating personality with the soul. Okay, that's what we attempt to do at first. This channel or alignment must be established between the brain and the soul. Now, the soul is to be considered as the second aspect of divinity. The second aspect. And hence my use of the redeeming color here, indigo. Now, DK goes on to say, this will involve all three aspects of the personality, the etheric body, the astral body, the mind, nature. And basically, he says further, this aligning process should be started and developed upon the probationary path, which, may I insert, is where we find the aspirant, unsteady but well-meaning. So it should be started and developed upon the probationary path and brought to a relatively high stage or state of effectiveness upon the earlier stages of discipleship. And I suppose what that means is being the accepting disciple, and also the earnest disciple on the way to being the accepted disciple. Okay. And will involve all three aspects of the personality. Personality, etheric, astral, mental, and I suppose when we began working in the Arcane School, many of us, this was the very first kind of alignment that we were subjected to in the lesson sets and studies. I guess it's assumed when you go into such a school as the Arcane School that you are an aspirant and you can work yourself up to a stage where you can receive training for discipleship. Etheric body, astral vehicle and mind nature. And started and developed upon the probationary path. So that, you know, that's the very beginning of building the threefold Antikarana, and it is a necessary foundational step to have this at least soul brain alignment. Now, eventually, as one becomes a true disciple, soul, mind, brain is the alignment, and there is no longer exclusively an alignment that seems to be produced by aspiration. Okay. Now, some of this, of course, is repetition from various points of view. And when you ponder your situation, do you find yourself with that alignment making its way into the physical brain? Do you find that to be the case? I think all of us will get a different report when we ask that question. And keep in mind that we can always improve. Now, later, as the disciple consciously creates the Antikarana, maybe the foundational stages are not created with entire focused consciousness, but later, he says, as the disciple consciously creates the Antikarana and becomes a functioning part of the ashram, and maybe at first that simply means a focus upon the higher mental plane in various kind of groups, but later it means, and especially since 1925, focus within the spiritual triad. So later, DK goes on, he learns whilst practicing alignment to bypass, if I may use such a word, two aspects of himself which have hitherto been of major importance: the astral vehicle and the soul body or causal vehicle, causal body. So first, he is a functioning first he is working on the foundation, and when we work to align soul and personality, and especially the physical brain, we are practicing the foundation of Antikarana building. But later, the astral vehicle also must be bypassed, which, by the way, it is not in the white magical process. There, certain mantras, certain words assist us to bring regulation to the astral vehicle. So maybe it need not be bypassed. But the modern method of Antikarana building is, in fact, that which DK has given us. Okay. So the Antikarana, one way or another, whether involving the higher mental plane or, as now is the case, involving the spiritual triad, will help the individual become a functioning part of the ashram. And here is the bypassing, which is really important. But how does that feel? That is the question. How does that experience really feel? So, and this is important, the bypassing occurs whilst the disciple is practicing alignment. That's an important one. And of course, we have some 100 pages of instruction about building the Antikarana in the rays and the initiations. Now, that word bypass, so common in heart surgery, descriptions, tells us that we are on the line of will, we might say. We are willfully working into the triad, which is a reflection of the monad and of the liberated monad. The astral body is no longer of major importance, and the soul body is moving towards a condition around the time of the fourth initiation, when it too is no longer of such importance. The astral body, says DK, is thus bypassed before the fourth initiation, and the soul body, and this is interesting, before the fifth. Now, that soul body seems to be destroyed or incinerated or in some manner negated at the fourth initiation, but there is still a residue that happens from the spiritual supernova which takes the soul body out of the picture and transfers its content into the spiritual triad. So, the astral body bypassed before the fourth degree, and soul body bypassed before the fifth degree. I think that's all it can mean, because there is not yet the clearing of what has happened to the soul body at the fourth. And following that period and moving towards the fifth degree, there is a clarification. The man begins to see the path upon which he might return, very much the path upon which he descended. The entire process of bypassing takes much time and must be worked at with intensity. So, as we practice using these words of power given in the rays and the initiations, we are, in fact, in the process of bypassing this concentration upon the second aspect of divinity, which is embodied in the soul body or egoic lotus. Okay. So it the bypassing, and I assume that if we can take that type of meditation seriously, a number of us are working on it right now. Okay. So it must be worked on with intensity, first of all, with the focus upon the emotional nature, through conscious discrimination. It does no good to be captured by the dogmatisms, the glamours, of the astral vehicle. That has to be, they have to be dispensed with. And finally, this intense application works upon the soul nature under the inspiration. Now, this is an important point of the spiritual triad, which eventually is a substitute for the soul body. And I think we've got to give bypassing its fair share of difficulty. How much time does it take? Will we succeed in this life in building the Antikarana? Well, certainly not all of it. Even a master has not built all of the Antikarana to the higher two subplanes of the Buddhic and Atmic plane. So we can hardly expect to do more than be noticed and have a descent of energy come towards us, because we have entered the triad with earnestness, even though without the hope of completeness. So let me put this down. Yes, and DK, I see, goes even further. And he stops his statement by saying, I would love to finish this, but given that Tuya and I have to do a group triangles meditation, it won't be possible right now. So DK has answered my question or my doubt. All this, he says, will take many incarnations. This bypassing process for the registration and the interpretation of the higher impressions is a basic occult science. You know, one of the supportive sciences of the supreme science of contact, and takes much learning and application to perfect. A basic occult science and takes much learning. And a number of incarnations in order to perfect. Okay, and I'm hoping that this is working. Looks like it. So we'll emphasize the idea of many incarnations. And that it is the registration and interpretation of the higher impressions which takes so long Okay, having a little difficulty here, just trying to locate this. Okay, now we've really reached page 108, and there's not that much more to go. But I don't dare leave the program on because of what might happen to it as a result of that. I'll just say a tiny bit more that as the two processes, this bypassing, are slowly developed, the third stage automatically becomes increasingly effective, and at first, without further investigation, this looks like monad, let us say, maybe hierarchical rapport, something higher than the soul or the astral body, something higher begins to come in as the impressing agent. So this is anyway, that will be as far as we will go now, even though in the next program, whenever it may be, we will have to have a very short beginning before we go on to Roman numeral number 14, and we'll talk about the higher aspects of relationship. You've got to admit, or at least I admit, that the material here being presented is abstruse. No question in my mind about that. So, this is going to be program 44, and let's see if I can copy it, and if I can, I'll consider myself fortunate, and program44. Okay, and in smaller form, it's a text, and let's see what else might be possible. This would have been program 44, and basically we'll do the same, although Michael, my steady guide in these matters, has suggested maybe other approaches, which from the point of view of a computer expert look more sound than what I have tried to do. So I'm going to send this off as text to various people, and okay. Okay. Well, friends, so that's going to be it for what I can do right now. It may not even last an hour. I don't know. We'll see. You have the text, and I will just wish you the best assimilation of this abstruse material. And BL and Harold and Michael will make sure that everybody who is signed up to get this program 44 in various ways actually does so. So I'll stop the recording and wish you lots of love, many blessings, and good study, good meditation. We'll wish you all those things. And now the recording will stop. Okay.